Amen. You may be seated. We have gathered this morning and we welcome you here for this to celebrate the greatest tragedy in human history. It's also the greatest event that has ever taken place. And as we see the explosion of these two, especially knowing the rest of the story, the resurrection of our Lord, we want to do so with heaviness of heart, with an overwhelming joy, with an understanding of what occurred so that our lives are forever changed. And you might say, well, how can we do something like that? This is a familiar story. You have heard prophecy already read, and you will hear in reflection, in song, and in further scripture reading later on in the service and equal focus on what actually occurred. But now we want to look at the very words of Jesus as he was preparing so that we can understand with our own minds, our own hearts, and then God willing impacting our lives what was occurring on this tragic, amazing day. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today knowing that comprehension of this is beyond our human capability, longing for you to pour out your spirit on this place so that as we study your word, Lord Jesus, as we look at your words, that we would be changed, that we would deepen our devotion to you, that we would delight in our gift of salvation, and that we would display the beauty of who you are and how we live. Oh, that today would be marked by praise. Oh, that today would be marked by an overwhelming devotion from your people to you. As we mark your death, may it mark us. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. If you have your Bibles, and I realize it is a little dark, we do that on purpose. Today is a celebration of a dark yet delightful event. We will be looking at Matthew chapter 26, the words of Jesus in his preparation for what is coming. Again, we want to understand these afresh in the weight that they are given, in the heartbreak that they are given, and that is difficult, for we do know the rest of the story. We do believe that this celebration is best done in the shadow of the resurrection, and yet we want to understand the depth of what Jesus went through so that we can respond correctly with all that we are and all that we have to this, so that we won't be satisfied customers but devoted servants. Matthew 26, 36 to 46, we will expand a little bit in terms of our study, but Jesus is now going to show us what is coming as we get to watch him pray. He goes to this place. It is separated. He's been here many times before with his disciples. They are aware of where he prays, and we will see this in the betrayal of Judas. But here we see on display his heart, and we see the details of what is coming in the overflow of that heart as he cries out to his Father. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. So often I wonder if that is not how he finds us. He said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again, crying out to God. And then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. We want to see in this text the depth of what is coming. We are aware that that is only possible as the Spirit of God opens our eyes to the richness and horror of what Jesus is experiencing, and we want to walk very briefly through five stops in this text. The first is we understand that Jesus knew the plan. We don't see that directly in this text. We have to shift back to verse 2 of 26. It is in many other places. It is the purpose of why he came. Jesus understood what was coming, and he put his pain into the context of the plan of God. Verse 1, when Jesus had finished all these things, he said to his disciples, you know that after 2 days the Passover is coming. The Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. He understood clearly what was coming. He was prepared in his heart for that. In fact, that was the mission he displayed in his ministry. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He is there to pay the penalty for many. He understood clearly going into this day, going into this week for him, this is Thursday for him, the plan meant his suffering and death. We see that clearly in the apostles looking back at this, Acts 2:23. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. In other words, this horrific, amazing event was a part of God's definite plan. It was his death by crucifixion. It was his taking upon himself the wrath of God. It was his paying the penalty for sin. He literally, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There was a plan at work, and Jesus was aware of this plan. Next, I want us to notice the place. This is significant. The garden is named Gethsemane, literally means oil press. It's located on a slope of the Mount of Olives, just across from the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem. He came here often to pray with his disciples. In fact, as I said earlier, Judas knew where to find him. Jesus had just celebrated Passover with his disciples, that first precious communion, and now he took three of his closest friends, followers. How privileged they must have felt, yet how ashamed they must have been just a few days later. Watch and pray that you might not fall into temptation, yet they slept and ignored. Perhaps Peter would be the one that would most regret this. But Jesus goes to a quiet place, takes his closest friends, and he cries out to God. He knew the plan. He went to this place, and then he prayed. His prayer outlined maybe most clearly, verses 38 to 39, but it's a repeated prayer. It's going on and on and on. It's taking a lot of time. It's not just simply these words, but it's the overflow of his heart. And these words summarize what this prayer was, and it is overwhelming. In fact, overwhelming for him. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. My Father, if it is possible, the pain of knowing what is coming, the pleading with the Father in submission to his will, longing for something else and yet longing to obey. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. No one had ever understood what was coming as clearly as Jesus did. No one has ever gone through what Jesus knew was coming for him to go through, this cup, this plan. What is the cup? Well, we know it to be from the Old Testament and also the context of the New Testament. It is filled with the fury of God. It is the wrath of God being poured out on the Son of God for the glory of God. One scholar says this, the cup symbolized the suffering Jesus would endure on the cross, the cup of God's fury vented against all the sins of mankind, which the Son would take upon himself as the sacrificial Lamb of God. As we were praying for this service, I said to our team, if we could only understand 1/1,000,000th of what Jesus went through and experience it personally and then long for others to experience it, it would change every moment of our lives. Jesus is in the plan of God perfectly. Jesus withdraws to pray, and his prayer is overwhelmingly painful. Submissive. But he knows what's coming. We see then this passion, the depth of feeling of Jesus is overwhelming. He is, as the text says correctly and absolutely rightly, deeply sorrowed to the point of death. Deeply sorrowed. In other words, he knows what is coming, and it is so overwhelming for him that not only does he cry out to the Father and ask that the cup be taken away, if that be God's will, knowing it would not because he understood the plan, but now he is so sorrowful because he knows and understands what is coming. One scholar, the magnitude of his grief apparently caused Jesus to literally bleed. We know medically this is possible if the anguish is overwhelming and deep. And his anguish was enough to kill him. And doubtlessly would have done so had he not been divinely preserved for another kind of death. He is sweating drops of blood. We are seeing in this picture, as we watch Jesus obey God, follow his plan with confidence and boldness, and yet in brokenness cry out to God, we are seeing not only the depth of commitment of the Son to the glory of the Father and commitment to carry out the plan no matter what the cost, but also the understanding, the depth of understanding. Jesus, fully God, fully man, the depth of understanding of what was to come is so overwhelming that the sorrow and anguish that he experienced, far more intense than any of us could even imagine. And if we took the worst of what we have experienced it, multiplied it by 1,000,000, we would only begin to grasp the sorrow of our Savior. We've seen the plan, the place, the prayer, the passion. Lastly, the privilege. And this is amazing when we celebrate this day. It's amazing because in the darkness we see the brightest light. It's amazing because in the horror we find healing. It's amazing because Jesus not only understands what is coming, but we now look back at this understanding and see that Jesus knew the price and chose to pay the price for the glory of God and for the love of his people. Oh, what love! Demonstrated so richly that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He went from the garden to the trials to the cross, all the way in full knowledge of what was coming, not only the physical pain, so minor in comparison to the cup of God's wrath, and yet willingly and forcefully, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Charles Spurgeon, in a sermon called The Man Christ Jesus, he preached it on April 12, 1885, said this, "It will not be enough for you to hear or read about the Messiah. You must do your own thinking and consider the Lord for yourselves. The wine is not made by gathering the clusters, but by treading the grapes in the wine vat. Under pressure, the red juice leaps forth. Not the truth as you read it, but the truth as you meditate upon it. It will be a blessing to you. Shut yourself up with Jesus if you would know him." And that is our longing this morning, to challenge each heart that is here in the power of the Spirit and the purity of the Word to long to know him more. To use this day not only as a morning to remember and to weep and to rejoice, but as a mark for the rest of our lives, lived as an overflow of the gospel, lived as an overflow where the love of Jesus on display on the cross compels us, drives us, changes us. For it is true, as we look at this picture in the garden, that in the passion of the Christ, we find peace with God. For it is true that he who knew no sin became sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is true that we who are objects of wrath, enemies of God, sinners who deserved rightly his cup of wrath, when we believe as those who are elect of God, we find full forgiveness. Price paid in full and freedom. May this picture, as we've reviewed Jesus looking forward to it, not be something we just do because we're religious and it is Good Friday, and so I suppose Good Friday services are what we do, but because we have seen the Savior. We have walked with him through the power of his word, illuminated by the power of the Spirit. And we have experienced his love. We want to pray and then respond with song. And it's my hope and prayer for you as we move into that prayer time. And then as we sing and respond to the greatness of the Savior, that your hearts would be broken because of what this Messiah, the only true Messiah, went through for you. That in that brokenness you would find peace and joy and passion. It is my belief that one of the greatest tragedies of the Canadian church is that we are satisfied with what we think is okay. It's good. We're getting along okay. Things are okay. It's good. But brothers and sisters, when we gaze upon our crucified Lord, through his eyes in the garden, and then as we will see displayed in scripture and song on the cross, and then into the tomb, and then out of the tomb, which we are so anticipating, is resurrection, that satisfaction or contentedness would be replaced by devotion and radical living for the glory of our King. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are overwhelmed. You knew what was coming, and it came with full venting of the Father's wrath. You cried out, and yet you submitted. You were willing and chose for the joy set before you to endure the cross, scorning its shame. And so we give you glory. For worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We ask that you would awaken in us a fresh understanding, that you would warm our hearts so that they are set ablaze by the beauty of what you have done for us, and that we would live our lives in full devotion to our risen Savior, to the praise of your glorious grace. Amen.